The land of Haith is beautiful and bountiful. From the views of the swirling ocean atop the pristine peak, to a lucky glimpse of the fourth moon in a pasture of bumbles, admiration can be found. There is a story on the lips of every small god that spans the land, and a journey in every form of nature. Villages of animal folk scatter the Haithland, connected by roads, seaways, and the occasional hot air balloon passage. Most folk are content staying within the comfort of their community, but to some, a journey is bound to call. Mina Leftfoot is a young moth tender, a rabbit with bright eyes and big ideas. Her journey from tower to tower, tending to the moths and delivering letters, will give Mina the chance to see the world and meet all the wonderful folk that make up the Haith. Today, we'll hear about one journey in particular. I wonder what is in store.
I led into the beginning of this potential new episode last time, so I'm just gonna ramble a little bit and say that we're probably gonna cut in and do some other stuff as we come back. And then before we start as well, I want to briefly touch on the journeying tools. There's a specific paragraph for each of them, but to save us some time, I don't need to read through all of them. I just want to touch on them because safety tools are important for play, because the most important thing is that we have fun. So I'll read the header and give us a brief description. These are things that we can touch on or use, say, bring to the table at any point during the game. They are to help us feel safe and also give us ways to push the story forward. If we are at a loss. The first one is let's do this instead. Essentially, if you come to a thing that you either don't know what to do or don't want to go down a certain path, just bring up, hey, let's do this instead, and suggest an alternative. You can also ask, do we want to? In the same vein as let's do this instead, sometimes you might not have an alternative, and you just want to see if this is something people want to do. It's always nice to ask if we want to do the thing that we're about to do. You can also ask where to next. If you're lost or stuck, it's always a good idea to ask your companions, where do you want to go next? Additionally, you can also ask, what do you think, to gauge your companions' opinions on the path ahead. At any point, you can say, hold on. Sometimes we need to take breaks, whether they're scheduled or not. If something's happening that you just want to pump the brakes on, and either discuss or just pass by, you can always say, hold on. No is an incredibly important word. At any point, you can just say no for whatever reason. If you don't want to see something, if you want to see something a different way. And of course, walking away. I always preface this as like a podcast thing kind of seems weird, but also it's just a game. So if at any point none of these work or you just need to walk away, you can. I won't be offended. And those are all the journeying tools. I know I asked you before, Devin, but do you have any extra safety tools that you want to implement or anything else right now that you might want to bring up?
No, I'm vibing at the moment.
All right. And then, of course, at any point, if there is something you want to bring up, we can always use those tools to break it down and figure out what we want to do from there. Can always add more lines and veils. And now we take our first steps. There's a few questions that I want to ask before we embark. The first one we talked about a little bit already. What season is it? I know we talked about it being kind of summer adjacent. what do you feel about that? If you want, we can follow the same sort of flow of the past sessions with these seasons, or we can jump to a different one.
I'm cool with that. I don't think it affects too much.
Okay.
I do like the idea of there being fog, but like I said, that's demonstrably something that happens in the summer in certain places.
Incredibly, yeah. So then I would say we are in the season of bright. This is the second season of the year, in the month of devil days. It is a month of relaxation, sleep, and escape from the burning heat. Also, we have included that, at least in some locations, there is this fog. Do you wanna bring any interpretation to that? Maybe the fog is part of what causes the heat?
Yeah, it could be like a cloud cover that kind of traps in the heat. Mm-hmm. So it's sort of warm and humid.
Yeah, it's definitely, at least where we are, I would say, perhaps in other locations, this like thick, humid fog that drifts around.
Yeah, but the mountains adjacent to the city or to the town kind of peak above the fog layer. So like you could like hike up to a space where there was clear sky. It's probably like hot as hell up there. Or probably, well, you know, it's probably like sunny and really bright and painfully bright, but maybe it's chilly because it's high altitude.
Yeah. So is this like a kind of a contrast, not only between like the mountains and the valleys, but even as this fog like rolls around between places, that some days might be this heavy fog where it's muggy and kind of dark, but then the next day could just be like ecstatically bright.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that shift. Okay, what sort of place did we just travel from? This is a question that we can answer vaguely if we want, or more literally, if we do want to roll into right where we left off on that last interaction. We don't necessarily have to dig in too deep to this one. Mm-hmm. But I guess in a sense, where I want to, or what I want to pry at with this question is maybe where we want to go. Because right now we're in Borderlin, this town or city. Do you want our session to explore that location more or press onward out of the city to explore the surrounding areas and on?
Well, does Mina have any motivations besides get to the Moth Tower? Because we should probably at least talk about that before we move on somewhere.
That is a good thing. Often I forget that I have things on my character sheet, like packages, which is probably why I haven't delivered a package yet.
If you want to go into town and deliver a package, that could be a thing to do.
Yeah. I'll ask you if any of these sound interesting to you or potentially nearby the location that we're in.
Yeah.
The three packages I have being the basket of homemade candies for a cheerful young rabbit who just moved to the big city, a wax sealed love letter for the leader of the last outpost of the rebellion, or a summons from the king of the floating mountain for a cheerful old farmer with a big family.
I don't know if any of those are relevant to this setting.
Yeah, that's why I kind of, sort of didn't bring them up. I mean,
yeah.
I could see a way that we could weave in the leader of the last outpost of the rebellion, but
yeah.
I guess we could weave in any of them, but I feel like that could be apt for a different time.
Yeah. The only reason I brought that up is because like this isn't a big city. I don't think there's any active like combat going on here. I think this is kind of out of the way for where most of that would be happening. And also, I don't think there's lots of like farmers here.
Yeah, totally valid. Also, like, while these are interesting prompts, I don't necessarily think they poke at any of the specific things that we want to explore with early. Mm-hmm. So they're cool, but it could feel like a distraction maybe in the flow of stuff.
Yeah. Well, perhaps we could like travel through town and beyond to do something about some of the spirits that I'm carrying. Yeah. And maybe you can find a package to pick up along the way.
I like that too.
Especially since this place hasn't had a lot of mail coming in and out of it.
Because
the lock tower is in disrepair.
Maybe we get a scene of Mina delivering a letter from one end of the town to the other. The next question. Do we feel our journey has been long? And this can be literal or figurative. I think maybe we'll shoot for the figurative sense, because at least between the two of us, we just met.
Yeah. But it also seems like there's probably a lot to talk about, both being moth enthusiasts.
That's true. How do you feel about this? Personally, do you feel like your journey has been long?
No, I think in the figurative sense, the time has kind of flown by. I think Mina is probably the first person he's met in a while that like he had any sort of commonality with.
The first one I said that the journey was long, and then the last time I said it was short because I had like a change in Mina's personal insight of like, oh, I want to live more in the moment.
Yeah.
And I think I'm carrying that forward this time, especially after meeting you, because again, we have like that through line in common about loving these moths, or at least the connection to them.
Yeah.
So I think Mina is more of in that mode where she's either constantly asking questions or just like talking about cool moth stuff with you. So yeah. She's always in that moment of what's the next cool moth fact I know.
I also think this journey is both long and short simultaneously for different reasons. I think it's long because it's the end of the day and you're probably tired and you're probably moving slower. I also think it's long because I think the fields outside Borderland are probably kind of samey. Besides the like, yeah, because you can't really see very far because of the fog. Like the only kind of thing interesting you see here are these colorful moths, because the land itself is a little bit like dirt and rock and weeds and not a lot of like liveliness. So the journey itself is probably a little bit tedious aesthetically. But I think it's also short because there's a lot to talk about. And I think also because that you're tired, that maybe it's short that you're trying to go a little bit, you know, faster to get to the end point, you know?
Or get done a little sooner.
Yeah.
All right. Is there somewhere we hope to go? Either literally or figuratively? Is there a place that maybe in Early's mind, there's a lookout that is particularly beautiful that he wants to try and see for these moths? Or is there an emotional state that you're trying to get to or you hope you get to?
Yeah, I think he might want to go up the mountain a little bit maybe. Though I think that's a thing to do tomorrow when we've, slept and you've kind of at least checked in with the moth tender, aka my grandma, about whatever your moth tending duties are.
Fair. One of the previous connections I had with another character was me getting in trouble because I didn't check in at a moth tower.
I don't think Mama Orchard's going to care, but,
like, what? There was supposed to be an intern today? And the last question we answer silently in our heads, as I always say, in perfect podcast medium. We can say it out loud if you would like. The question, will I someday find a home?
Yeah, I think Early does have a home already. He definitely doesn't sit still. He definitely like moves around the area frequently, especially because he's sort of traveling and collecting these spirits. I don't know if I said this, but the cabinet of the grandfather clock is full of cocoons.
Yes.
Of unhatched moths. and he basically like they're like spirit sponges. if a spirit is nearby and was like, oh, one of those cocoons looks comfy, I might get in there. Then he's able to raise a new moth.
So is this maybe even not a question that Early thinks about because he already has a home? He's like, yeah, it's just down the mountain. It's where I am.
Yeah. I think his father is still alive and is probably maybe a moth tender in like another city or something like that. And he gets mail from him occasionally, but like, I don't think he is too worried about like going to the big city or, you know, branching out. He especially with his grandmother being old and kind of unable to do all of the tasks that she used to be able to do, that he feels like he needs to be there for her and also to sort of carry on the legacy, especially with this sort of novel moth tending thing that has come up here.
Yeah. All right. I answered yes for this with Hamina. And I think that it's a more confident yes in this newfound way of just like sense of belonging in general after meeting you, because she has at least begun to realize that there's something more. even if I never settle, eventually I can find a home, something like that. Especially with the moths, because she loves moths.
Cool. So do you think we kind of get settled in?
Yes. I think the best thing to do is to build a kith, if you want.
Sure. this is sort of a tangential question, but when you arrive at this dilapidated moth tower, how do you feel seeing one of the symbols of your profession in ruins?
I think at first, Mina probably is walking towards the town because she's like, oh, it's going to be in the town because it'll be a pristine condition. And then as you lead her towards this fallen over kind of dilapidated tower, she's like, huh, this is kind of weird. But then once you get closer and realize that it's still inhabited and in use, she's like, oh, okay, this is just normal.
Yeah.
It's just a range of emotions.
It probably even looks more like a home than you would expect a moth tower to be. Like, usually there's probably just the would they have perches? Like I'm imagining like what a moth tower would have inside it usually. Like
probably
many floors with perches for the moths to like
lots of lanterns.
Yeah. Whereas this is almost like somebody's house because the like main part of the tower where all the moths would chill is not in use. Here there's just moths kind of like randomly flying around. There's probably a couple outside the tower, and there's the couple that follow early around.
Yeah, I think the main thing that she's thinking like in when she gets close to it is, oh, this is just a different type of moth tower.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's build this kith. Let me type out. Could you remind me, the name was like, it was Grandma Orchard or is it?
Yeah, I was just calling her Mama Orchard.
Mama Orchard. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And then what pronouns?
She, her. She's also a hyena, but I imagine her fur is like really gray and she's maybe kind of smaller and maybe she has some cool glasses.
Ooh.
She probably walks around with a cane.
And then a single detail, an occupation, a quirky trait, or an interest.
Ooh, I think her cane is painted with the same sort of like artistic style of flowers as my ukulele.
Oh, I love that. Is this like, is it actually just like painted the same, or are they even like made from the same wood that has this sort of flowery pattern on them?
Maybe. I don't know if this comes up, but I think both of these things were painted by Early's mother.
Okay. I like that. And also, even if it's not something that visibly comes up ever in play, I love adding those things because by speaking them into existence, they now exist.
Yeah. he's not blunt enough to tell everybody about his own tragedy, but he does carry it around with him.
Okay, and now we get to add traits, at least two traits, which let the Kith do stuff narratively. At least there's like ways to help.
Yeah, with my character creation, she already got two traits.
Oh, perfect.
Caring and imaginative from the like two things you carry with you prompts.
Do you want to, are those specific ones here or?
I see imaginative under artistic traits.
Okay.
And caring under social traits.
Ah, yes. Yes, there they are. Do you want to strictly go with those and see what they give you? Or do you want to add some others?
What are the ones with the like little flower symbol? What does that mean?
In the play kit, there's not strictly a definition for what that means. But from my like investigation of things that Jay has also released, I think they are like quotes magical traits. I'm not sure if that's the true name for them, but Jay has been releasing at least stuff that will be in the full book, like extra traits that also have symbols. Like I know on Twitter the other day I saw trauma traits and they have a different symbol. So I think it's a different like vibe of traits, I guess.
Yeah.
All of these are more magical, but you can also read them in a not magical way as well. I think it just lets you do those things.
Well, I think the oracular and witchy almost kind of apply here as well in terms of the magical traits, but I don't know how much we want to get into that.
I mean, we can add them in or even just leave them on the periphery as touchstones of things.
Yeah. I think if you were to meet Mama Orchard and meet Early, you'd probably say like, oh, there's something odd about these folks. Like,
yeah,
something on the periphery of being magical about these folks, but it's not it's not obvious. It's very subtle and they probably don't, you know, throw it around.
But yeah, okay, so let's at least start with the imaginative and caring, and then we can pull in some oracular and witchy, I guess, actions as we go. On the imaginative trait list, there's three things. Is there one or two of those that particularly pique your interest that Mama Orchard can do?
I think explain away things could be better is kind of part of her whole deal. She lived through this traumatic event. She lost several people that were important to her, and she has devoted her life to helping people with grief. So I think that like applies to her. I think she does. And that also kind of goes with the caring thing as well, of like wanting to help people, wanting to improve things for people despite, you know, inevitable sadness.
Is there one of those caring traits as well that you'd like to add in there too?
Protect someone else from the world. Probably not. Inconvenience yourself to help someone else. Maybe a little bit. I think when we get home, she's like already ready to like, you know, make you up a bed, and despite, you know, being kind of weak, and I probably quickly put down the grandfather clock and go to help her out so that she doesn't, you know, strain herself too much.
Is she maybe making up a bed that's too small and then realizes when I get there she has to do it again?
Yeah. And I don't want to speak for your character, but I imagine maybe there's a moment where or first entering the tower and getting to know each other, and you see a painting on the wall of a moth that has the pattern I described earlier with her backstory. This is a painting of the moth of her partner, and that probably, you know, starts up some conversation, and she probably kind of goes to explain it, and Early's probably like, you know, we don't need to talk about this, we don't need to get into this, it's late, you don't need to give us the whole tragic backstory, not in like a patronizing way, but like a, you know, you don't need to do this to yourself to bring up all these feelings. Let's go to bed.
All right. And then the oracular and witchy traits. We don't have to pick specific things from these if we don't want to. If you want to just like have those as potential touchstones or like veils to something more, we can. But if there are any of these that you want to add in, we can maybe take one from each as well.
I love cackle. Yeah, I think she has a boisterous laugh, which I think is also sort of juxtaposed to early. I feel like I didn't play him this way, but I think he does have a little bit of a flat affect in terms of how he like speaks and presents himself.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
But I don't think she does anything obviously witchy, so probably not mm-hmm. the other two about mixing things together to make something new or mm-hmm. pointing out a flaw in somebody's personality that they haven't been dealing with. If you're right, put a curse on them.
Oh my gosh.
I don't think that's her style.
I didn't read that one fully. It's so long. It's so good, though.
Yeah. Oh, but under oracular, I do like make a vague and unclear reference to something that hasn't happened yet.
Oh, yes. That's so good. Also, that's a really great way to just be like, hey, I want to see this thing.
Yeah. And while we're describing the space, I think there's like a side room that was kind of like added, which seems to be the like caterpillar farm mm-hmm. for the like the things that turn into the moths. Mm-hmm. And I just for some reason I have this image in my head of like a bed of like roses of like different colors, and the caterpillar is just kind of like crawling around them and just like chomping into these roses in a way that like some cartoons make random things look really delicious, even though you wouldn't eat them in real life.
Yes.
Like a very Miyazaki kind of vibe.
Yes. Mina probably sees that and like her mouth starts to water a little bit, and then she like shakes it out and be like,
yeah,
what?
There's like dew on the rose petals. That just makes them look appetizing for some reason.
I love that. Okay. How much time do you want to spend in this, like, before we go to bed scene, if you want to have a scene there, or if you want, we can start with waking up. I can also give you the, if you want the authority, I guess we both have the authority, but to start off at least voicing Mama Orchard.
Yeah. I feel like I already have.
Yeah. Fair. Guess in that scene, is there any preference on where we begin there?
No, I think that was just sort of narrativizing stuff that happened. I don't think we need to like play it out unless you have an idea.
No, I got it. I think I got it. We see that scene. I guess maybe it's like a montage of that happening. And then the sun sets and the fog begins to roll over the tower and through and past the town. And before another fog can roll in, the sun rises bright and shining.
There's probably, I don't know if you've ever seen this before, but sometimes it can be like really sunny and clear, but then there's like huge blankets of fog that are like rolling over mountains.
Yeah.
It's kind of how I imagine it. Like I imagine the fields are in sort of a valley and these just huge blankets of fog are kind of spilling over the mountains, kind of over the town, but like the sun is still bright in the sky.
Yes, I like that a lot.
The blue sky.
That patchy rolling fog as we wake up. I guess what is the first thing we hear?
Like in terms of like atmospheric ways to bring in the new day.
Either that, or I guess just as a sense to lean on. When we to set the scene, set the mood, as we wake up, I guess what do we hear, smell, see if there's anything in particular you have in mind.
Yeah, I think both of the orchards are early risers. She's probably going to like tend to the caterpillar gardens, and I think early is just kind of like chilling outside as the sun is rising, and he's just kind of idly plucking at his ukulele.
Oh, okay. I like I like that that image, that sound of the ukulele plucking. Mina is probably not as early of a riser.
Yeah.
And at that filtering through the tower, one of her ears kind of perks up as she rolls off the bed and begins to make her way out, probably smoothing back her ears and hair to put on her cap and adjusting her bag, and sits down next to you and says, "Well, this is definitely a type of tower I've never seen before, but it's sure is nice here. All those caterpillars in there."
You said you were here to visit the tower. Did you have particular tasks given to you?
I think she like scratches behind the back of her head. I'm not too sure. I'm supposed to be on this journey to, I guess, find myself as a moth tender, figure out where I'm supposed to be. They say every tower's different. I guess that's already kind of true.
And every moth is different, apparently.
Yeah. And I think she probably pulls out and like filters through a few letters. No. I guess I don't particularly have anything to deliver here.
There might be some folks in town that have needs of your practice.
Yeah, I guess we can try that out. And she like rustles her bag and like shoves them back in. Do you want to come with me? Have you done any deliveries before?
I do deliveries in a sense.
Oh, okay.
Existential deliveries.
She's like looking at you like confused. I would love to hear more about that at some time. I haven't gone into that branch, but I'm always looking for more chances to learn more. Come on, let's go. It's nice and sunny. Maybe we can hit some places in town before the fog rolls over. As long as that's okay with Mama Orchard.
Yeah. Though, I think we should have her say something vague and unclear for something that hasn't happened yet. I don't know what it is, though.
Okay. Ooh, is it maybe something in reference to a location that might help one of your moths? Like maybe... let me go back. Is it... maybe about something that's beautiful or a place where lonely spirits go or.
Yeah. Oh, I think I know. I think she says there's a lot of beauty to take in, but don't let your gaze distract from having strong and clear footing.
I think at that, Mina's just nodding like vigorously, goes, "Yep, sounds good." And do we make our way through town or?
Yeah, I think we walk into town. I'm on my grandfather clock backpack.
I think
Mina, like, it's kind of lurching forward a little bit.
Yeah. I think as you're doing that and we're walking out, Mina's just like, do you want some help with that? It looks kind of cumbersome.
It's fine. I'm used to it.
Okay.
Got strong legs.
That's fair. I definitely don't want to take away something that is yours, but I just wanted to offer. And we stroll on through a town.
One little like aesthetic thing that I just thought of that you probably notice while he's like walking around with this grandfather clock is that the like top part where the like clock face is actually is like partially full of water, and the candle that is inside of it is like floating around in a dish on the water. Mm-hmm. So that even as he like lurches forward, it still kind of like stays flat. So yeah. He gets the candle lit while he's like traveling, but you probably don't need it right now. Cause it's sunny out.
That's really cool. I like that.
So you just kind of hear this like thunk and slosh kind of sound as he walks around as the, like the tray the candle's in bumps around and hits the wooden shell of the grandfather.
I think that as we're walking then, and that sound is kind of just like thunk, thunk, thunk through the fields, Mina is going to take the chance to speak her true feelings on a subject to get a token. Mina is going to say, as that sound is thunk, thunk, doesn't that get tiring? I don't know if I could do that as a moth tender. I mean, I guess I get tired going from place to place, but I feel like it would be really hard if I had to carry that thing around all the time. How do you do it?
I guess I've never really thought about it that way. Just seems like the
thunk, thunk, thunk.
This question caught me off guard, actually.
I'm sorry.
It's heavy, but I feel like it's the weight gives me purpose, gives me meaning. It gives me a tangible purpose to carry around.
Well, how do you mean? What? I guess I haven't really asked, but what do you carry it around for? To get stronger?
I think I'm gonna also get a token here to take a moment to watch a tiny moment. Wait, take a moment to watch a tiny moment of beauty and describe it to the table. It says moments twice, that sentence that threw me off.
Two moments, one to take and one to give.
Yeah, I think as we like, you know, get a little bit tired, we're about like halfway to the city. We like sit down next to a tree, and I show you. I open the cabinet and show you the cocoons. And I think the tiny moment of beauty we see is that one of the cocoons starts to crack and start to split.
I think sitting there watching that, Mina has probably pulled out a scrap of paper and is like drawing this cabinet, at least like the open with all the cocoons hanging and the one cracking, and just watching and going, wow.
You're not the only traveler I met last night, apparently.
Oh, well, a new moth is always welcomed into the world. Everyone that unfurls its wings adds another beautiful moment.
Not to bring the mood down, but do you know the history of this place?
She shakes her head.
There's a lot of death here, or the shadow of death hangs over this land. A great battle. Many lost their lives on both sides. And the people from that battle, even though generations ago, still water these fields, many of them lost. So I carry this around because the spirits can become something new through the moths. And it lets them finish up their heathly business. I watched a spirit leave last night. You were there as well.
Oh. So that's what that was. I thought I just saw a ghost rub my eyes.
You did.
Oh. And she pulls out like a notebook and writes down stuff.
He giggles monotonously to himself.
Well, that's something I did not know. And she jots that down in a book.
So that's why I carry it around.
That definitely changes my mind on the subject then. Maybe this isn't the time, but would you mind if I carried it at some point? I don't want to impose, but I think I might like to try the weight on at some point.
I trust you. You seem to care about the moths, though you don't have a connection to the spirits of this land, but I don't think they would mind you giving them a lift.
Hmm. Well, perhaps when you find I am ready. And
I think yes. I think as they both say that, I think one of the moths kind of like lands on your head.
Oh.
What kind of pattern do you think this one has?
Oh, I think that it has like blue wings with swirling like foamy white whirlpools.
Ooh. Do you think this is the one that wants to see something beautiful, the lonely one or the mischievous one?
Ooh. Oh, gosh. So many options based on that. I think this is the lonely one.
Okay.
And by looking at the swirls on its wings, you can kind of feel that, kind of like you're being pulled in, but not too much.
He smiles a little bit and he says, yeah, that one seems to be in need of new friends. Mm-hmm. Will you let them perch for the rest of the walk?
Yes, I will. And I look at the moth and say, friends are out there, even old ones. You never have to let them go, but we can always find new ones. And she like pokes its nose a little bit. and in her own mind is recalling memories of her best friend that she left. Just picturing Elicor in their book library reading, and kind of gets a little sad, thinking that Elicor might be lonely now.
I think as they pick up and start walking again, I think he still insists on carrying the grandfather clock.
Mm-hmm.
You have a new moth.
I'm carrying one weight.
The moths weigh like nothing.
It's taking up a slot in my inventory.
I'm encumbered with moths.
Maybe at some point. Okay, and we make our way to Borderlyn. Or wait, am I saying that right? Borderlyn? Okay. I wasn't sure if it was like Borderland or Borderline.
It probably was one of those, but like, you know, over time names change.
Fair. Yeah, so do you have a description of maybe what this town looks like walking through? Do you want to pick out some natures for it to sure. kind of to cast that in a light?
I honestly haven't thought about it.
Yeah. The natures at first look, they're on like page 1920 of the PDF. At first look, they might seem like set in stone stuff, but also in the rules, you can interpret them as literally or metaphorically as you'd like.
I definitely saw the line that said, when the chalklands might literally be a hillock, they might metaphorically be a swamp.
Yeah.
I felt that.
So is there any one of these in particular that you feel sets the vibe for?
I know what the metaphorical one is, but okay. I want to figure out what the literal one is first.
Mm-hmm. I mean, kind of vaguely outside and surrounding it, a field could work.
Mm-hmm.
Just because it's just that. You can also feel free to make up your own. Ooh. Hallows are cool.
An elongated lowland between ranges of mountains, hills. Oh, that's exactly what it is. An extensive area of land drained or irrigated by a river system. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So it's literally a hollow, but I think it's metaphorically a port.
Mm.
And I was kind of thinking with like Borderlyn, it was like kind of a twofold kind of pun of it being on the border between two like physical spaces, but then also a border between two liminal spaces, because this is a place where spirits are stuck and then getting a chance to move on.
Yeah.
For the spirits, in a sense.
I like that. Do you want to go through and pick some more strict descriptors of those, or just have those be our kind of mindset as we stroll through? It, I guess, depends on how long we want to stay specifically in here.
So for Hallow, hell is a sacred place where gods and mortals mingle. Oh, this interprets a little bit differently than the definition I saw.
You can describe it in any way you want. It doesn't strictly have to be this, I guess.
So I Googled hollow land feature, and I guess it corrected it, and I didn't see that it said hollow land feature. And that's what it was describing, sort of like the area between mountains where like river has run through and kind of, I think it is a town on a river, and the river flows from the mountains. There's probably maybe a waterfall in the center of town.
Yeah. Okay. So this is like really nestled in the mountain, not just like at the foot.
It is at the foot, but like maybe up a hill a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The Ma Tower was like a little bit more towards the fields, but like people especially don't go down there anymore because it's haunted.
So, maybe the town used to be there and it kind of...
Yeah, it probably moved back into the mountain a little bit because people didn't want to look at the deathly fields.
And you said it was metaphorically a port?
Yeah.
Okay. So a thing a port can do is describe the ships and where they go. That can be metaphorical ships along with spirits. I think we did get a little bit of that last night.
Yeah.
Show the dangers of a fragile lifestyle. Interesting. Mm-hmm. And ask, can I take you somewhere you've never been before? And give a token if they accept. Huh. Do you have any ideas on aesthetic elements from the port that might fit in this area? Either the given ones or some of your own invention?
Let's see. I think based off of like what we just talked about in terms of like maybe the town having moved, that maybe mm-hmm. the buildings seem a little bit newer and more like modern than at least like the Moth Tower was.
Yeah. I guess cut from the mountain.
Oh, okay. So yeah, lots of like stone.
Yeah. Is that the kind of new you were thinking of, or did you think the buildings in a different manner?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe just kind of clean brick buildings that were built from, you know, rocks from the quarry in the mountain. I do imagine that there aren't like a ton of trees. I feel like the trees are a little bit rare, like that one that we stopped under to like, you know, take refuge from the sun. I think that was probably one of the few like trees that were good for that we saw on the way. So yeah, I can see a lot of stone being used here instead of wood. I like hot air balloons. Might not be relevant to our character's story, but it'd be cool.
They could. Yeah, easy way to get to the top of the mountain.
Going over the mountains.
I like that.
Yeah, that's how they, you know, take people to the big city. I don't know what they mean by dangers of a fragile lifestyle.
I don't particularly either, but we can, I guess, interpret it in any way that we want. Maybe it's showing, I guess since the port is much about moving from place to place, a fragile lifestyle could mean somebody who hasn't committed yet to something. So the dangers of not, I don't know. That's a very interesting way to describe a lifestyle.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think people like pass through. I think there's maybe like a mountain pass that like the road leads to the town and then the town leads to the pass. But like, I think this is still sort of an out of the way area. So like while people do travel through Borderland, it's not like a huge like commercial stop, you know? Yeah, we don't need to dwell on that though.
Cool. Sounds good. We've got hot air balloons, these fresh houses or newer looking houses, and mountain pass with, I guess, a mountain pass that would allow people through, but isn't super busy.
And it's humid, and maybe there's like a little bit of like fresh moss on some of these buildings.
Ooh, yeah, I really like that. We can see
maybe like facing the mountains, so that's where the more cooler side of the area is.
Right. As the like mountain winds mixed with the fog kind of bring the coolness of the waterfall.
Yeah, like, and carry like, you know, moss spores down.
Yeah.
Seeds. I don't know how moss grows.
I don't particularly either. But it can grow in any way we want in this world.
Yeah, but I think that the town is bustling, at least juxtaposed to the, like, you know, calm, ominous fields. And there's, you know, the constant babble of the waterfall.
I think then as we get there and we just kind of see these people, like, rushing by, I am fidgeting a little bit. I think I've pulled out, on Mina's orange scarf, she has a few pins, and I think she's just kind of like playing with one right now, kind of like, oh, I'm not too sure what to do now. We're here. There's a lot of people. Ooh. And she just kind of like looks at you and is like, well, what do you think?
Through any of our interactions, would I have like learned anything about Mina and like what she's like and what might interest her?
That is a good question. Something I'm definitely always asking myself. I think she's definitely interested in learning new things. So there isn't, from what you can tell, she isn't particularly adverse to like going anywhere in particular. She's definitely curious. And you can already tell that she trusts you. So maybe she'd like to know something that you're interested in.
Ah, okay. Because I was thinking of invoking the, can I take you somewhere you've never been before?
Mm.
From the port list.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think of like what an interesting place to show you in this town would be.
Maybe it is a particular place where you get a view of the town as a whole. Either framed by something, or maybe it's an excuse to go on a balloon trip.
I don't know if I can carry. I don't think I can bring my carry on. balloon.
That's fair. Mina might also not be super jazzed to go on a balloon because canonically, last time she did, it crashed.
Oh dear. yeah, I think I take you to at the top of the waterfall. There's sort of like a pool, and when we get there, there's like. Oh, I think you have to agree to wanting to see something interesting. Can I take you somewhere you've never been before and give them a token if they accept? Can I show you something cool?
I'd love to see the town.
We walk through the town a bit, and you could see people look at me a little bit weird, like with a sense of respect, but also a sense of like, I don't really want to talk to you. I don't know, because I sort of represent grief incarnate to like a lot of the people of the village, and you know, like I said, he has a bit of a flat affect and he's a little bit calm and gloomy, so he doesn't make the best conversationalist. though, you know, we seem to share interests though, so I think Mina and Early are getting along fine. People like wave at me they don't give me any gestures of like, hey,
yeah, like, let's Mina's see. Probably waving back at them.
I imagine it's like a little bit of a diagonal village on this like mountain slope a little bit. Then we go up to the top of the waterfall where there's like a pool, and there's, you know, children playing in the pool, jumping into it, you know, a couple parents watching nearby, making sure they don't get too close to the edge of the waterfall. But there isn't too much of a current that would be pulling them. it's just kind of a cool little like area where there's a almost like a little pond where the river kind of backs up a little bit and then spills over this edge.
Wow. This is beautiful. Thank you. I am going to, what was it? allow someone to connect with you on a personal level. I'm going to spend that token to do this. As I sit down and the moth is probably still on there, but I pull out what you would know it as is like a set of stamps, but they're like postage stamps, but they're blank. And I start drawing and I ask if you want to sit next to me. One of the things that I'm supposed to do on my journey is make postage. It doesn't sound like a lot of fun, I guess, but I've got a friend back home who really likes different stamps, and you know, I don't want them to miss me. So whenever I see a beautiful view, I like to scribble it on a stamp and put it on a letter and send it. Don't tell the other moth tenders that I haven't been making a lot of stamps that are different or a lot that are the same to give to the towers. Please.
The only moth tender, at least moth tender like you, that I talk to is my dad, and we only talk through letters. I don't think I'll include this detail.
Thank you. Well, I mean, if you wanted to help me make some stamps, maybe you could send one to your dad too.
Oh,
be a fun little. I was gonna draw this view, and maybe there's like a single stone in the pond that has water pouring over it in a really pretty way, that shines as the light comes down.
So yeah, as we chill, I think I'm. Do you like give me like paper and stuff to draw?
Yeah, I guess there's perforations on this thing, and I tear like half of it off and hand it to you and say, you can put any of your own special touches on it.
I guess, you know, art runs in my family. I've tend to more of an audio art medium, but you know, my mother really liked drawing and painting. And I think he starts to draw the butterfly that is sitting on your head. I think he's like, you know, stay really still.
Yay.
Right. Did I call a butterfly moth?
Yes. And Mina just says, well, as my mom always says, it doesn't matter how skilled you are at something. If you put your all into it, it'll be just as beautiful.
And I think about when I finish drawing this moth, I'm going to spend a token to ease someone's pain, if only for a moment. And I think what this looks like is a couple of the children that were like playing in the pond kind of come up to you and are like curious about what you're doing, but then also curious about this moth that is like sitting on your head. And you could see that like once it gets surrounded by this like group of kids, it starts to like perk up and flutter around a little bit, get kind of excited.
Oh, I look up and say, oh, that's nice. Are you having fun, moth?
It obviously doesn't talk back, but you can probably sense, you know, energy of moth.
Yeah. And then maybe the kids run off and we feel that energy kind of swoop down a little bit, but we had that brief thing. And Mina just goes, you know, I'm sure a lot of people come up here, more people would come around. If you wanted to make some friends, maybe this would be a good place. You don't have to be so lonely.
I think one of the little kids looks up at you and says, can I play with them?
I think Mina looks at Early.
Yeah, he kind of like shrugs as he like finishes his drawing. He's like, you know, do you know how to be careful and delicate? Looking at the children with like a steely cold stare. Like, yeah, I can try. I won't touch it. I'll just follow it around as it flutters.
And I think Mina probably gets up with the children and the moth and is like, yeah. Yeah, I can help too. I'll make sure it doesn't get into too much trouble. Good thing this isn't the mischievous one. and we probably see her like helping the moth move around, and maybe it's catching different like wind drifts, and the kids are like laughing and
chasing after it.
And I will spend my other token that I got to do that same thing, to ease someone's pain, if only for a moment. And I don't want to necessarily take this moth away from you, but if you don't feel like this is the best place for it to have fulfilled its thing, but
no, that is exactly what I'm doing.
Yeah, I'm almost picturing it kind of maybe not connecting with these specific children, but at least finding these waves of wind that can carry it around and feel the joy of the children as they go, and almost connecting to a feeling of, although you feel lonely, the wind could carry you to those who appreciate you or those who need a friend.
Yeah. And this is like a lively place. So maybe this is where the moth can chill from now on, so it can be amongst others.
Yeah, and maybe it finds a nice flower that it settles on and, like, I don't know, goes to sleep. I don't know if moths go to sleep, but I guess in the daytime they might.
Yeah.
Well, it looks like they found a home. is that supposed to happen? And I look at you.
Yeah, I realize that the moths can be somewhat mercurial, and that's in their nature, and also what I'm trying to encourage is I'm merely a transport for them to get to where they need to be. Oh. And that actually reminds me, I didn't answer the question of where I'm going, which was one of the character creation things. And all I wrote down for this was wherever they need to help these spirits move on.
And I think, I guess in line with that, Mina looks again at your clock, your grandfather clock, and says, "Do all these moths need to find a place just like this one?"
Eventually, but you know, they usually find it in their own time. But I do what I can to help.
I like that. Maybe I'll try to bring that forward with me and with any others that I interact with. Find belonging. And she just kind of like looks up and smiles. So I will, I guess, use a safety, not a safety tool, a journeying tool to ask what we want to do next. How, I guess this is just more of a question of how are you feeling on exploration-wise, time-wise. We don't have to like for the ending of it, we don't have to fully like come to a, and now we're done and now we're splitting apart.
Yeah.
But if we want to narratively work towards a visual location where we feel at least this branch of the story is able to take a pause or a break.
I think we've already set up a couple things that could connect here, in terms of like there being like lookout points above the fog, which could be a cool place to go, especially because the road is kind of through the town over a mountain pass. So like if Mina's on a journey, that would probably be the next logical place to go. So we could continue up the mountain pass a little bit.
Yeah, I like that direction. I guess what I should ask is, do you want to like walk towards that as the end? We can get either a view from the top of there, or a and we're climbing over the mountain, and who knows what is in store.
Yeah, I mean, we can just like move to another space and kind of narrate the journey there.
Yeah. All right.
I want to do one thing before we leave this spot. You said that there was flowers around.
Yeah. I definitely think there's maybe some, I guess, larger than normal I guess, flowers for this large moth, but some around the pool.
Yeah, I think one of the images that you see frequently on the like art that I've described, both on my ukulele and on Mama Orchard's cane, is like images of dandelions.
Ooh.
And I want to get a token whenever I leave an offering to a small or forgotten god. And I want to like revise that statement. It's not a god, but I kind of solemnly pick a dandelion and blow it into the wind as an offering to my mother.
Oh, I like that. And I think that definitely works. The phrasing of a god can also just be liberally used to you know, be a spirit or just a thought or pretty much anything, I guess. Something that you hold in reverence.
And I think he's comfortable with you, considering like they've seemed to have hit it off, and you've been one of the first people he's met in a while that had any sort of, you know, connection in life. And I think as they're like walking, he opens up a little bit. And I'm going to take another token to speak my true feelings on a subject as we're hiking up a little bit. And I think he tells you about his mother. And he says, I didn't tell you the full story earlier about why I carry this around. Not that this would ever be a reason for me to stop, but I've never met my mother's spirit. I don't think she's had a chance to move on yet. So I'm kind of always hoping that I'll find her on my journeys.
Oh, I'm sorry. I hope that one day you find what you are looking for. But if you don't mind me, if you don't mind me saying, I think she is with you even as you search. Maybe not tangibly, but from what you've described, I can see her.
And I know she's around here somewhere. She got lost in these mountains. Not to bring the mood down, this is what I always do.
Sometimes we need moments in the low so we can climb even higher.
Yeah, hike higher.
Well, then shall we rise the mountain?
Yeah. And I think they're hiking up a bit. I think he's starting to slow down a bit, though, because he is carrying this grandfather clock as we literally hike a mountain.
I would like to ask if there is a portion where he would let Mina carry him. Maybe it's like we're at a point where you kind of have to sheer scale a wall.
Yeah.
And she would ask, do you mind if I can climb and you can hold on?
we're like literally climbing a cliff face.
that doesn't have to happen, but well, I feel like that could be
it's a mountain pass. Maybe there's like there was like a landslide or something like that, and the like normal path got kind of covered in debris that we need to like
that's true
climb over.
Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's instead of carrying you, because that. You don't have to. I could say something like, if you want, I can help carry the burden while we get over this, and basically offer to carry the clock over the rubble.
that would be helpful. I am getting a little bit tired there, but be careful, please.
I will do my best. It is, what would she say? She would say like, it is as precious to me as any tower I would work in. And I think technically that would give you another token, because you're giving me something that you hold dear.
Oh, yeah, that's so true. I'm rolling in tokens.
Yeah.
I'm going to spend some of these bad boys.
And is there a place that you see us stopping, like an overlook passage that could be a good visual, like a last scene visual?
Yeah. Though I did want to like involve the mischievous spirit in here somehow.
Yes.
I'm trying to think of like what would a mischievous spirit want to do to like mess with Mina as she's doing this arduous task.
maybe the moth comes and like lands on her nose and like makes her try to sneeze. or like unfurls its wings and like covers her eyes.
And she sneezes and it like flutters away, but then the like sneeze echoes through the mountains and you hear a couple rocks like slip down and you just like freeze up.
And then do we hear the moth try to sneeze itself?
I think it just flutters away. I imagine it has like red wings with like sort of jagged black lines.
Ooh, yeah. All right. And then once we are over the rubble, I think Mina probably hands you back the clock, the tower, and says, thank you. I appreciate you trusting me. And she's just like rubbing her nose.
Sorry for that, but I think you helped in a way. And I'm going to spend one of the tokens to ease someone's pain again, to let that moth, move on after playing a prank on you.
And she just says, well, I'm always happy to help. And every time one of these moths, I guess, helps me too, I learn a little bit more.
Cool. Yeah, so I think we continue heading up the mountain. I have my third moth that wants to see something beautiful. What do you think that moth looks like?
Ooh, I think in contrast, it is pretty plain looking compared to the others. So like a single color, no strict pattern, but maybe it has a like green shimmer to its wings.
Yeah.
Just like a pale green shimmer.
Cool. So I think we get to like the like apex of the pass. It's not like where the peaks are, obviously, but it's like kind of a divot between peaks. And we can kind of like see over the fog. We can see kind of towards the other side of the mountains where there's probably a much bigger settlement kind of in the distance. But it's the sun is just blazing up here.
Mina probably takes off her hat and like fans herself a little bit before putting it back on. Well, I guess this is a good place to take a break as ever.
Let's go to that little outcropping right over there. And there definitely is like slightly jagged rocks that we need to cross. And Mama Orchard's advice or her vision comes to mind.
Oh, be careful. And I probably help you across a little bit, you know, hand in hand. We make it and slump down a little bit, let out a whew.
And I think as we're chilling there, I think the green glowing moth kind of flutters around happily, taking in this intense vista. Both of us are gasping for breath as we just hiked up a mountain.
Is there a potential here? I know we talked about that fourth moon. Do we maybe see it like clearer from here? Maybe it was hidden behind the mountains or in the fog.
Since it's tidally locked, it's there during the day.
And maybe that's part of the beautiful scenery that helps this moth.
Yeah, and we watch it fly towards the moon over the outlook.
Yeah, and our scene, our view, our curtains close, I guess, as the moth wings kind of take up the entirety of the screen as it goes into the moon or towards the moon.
Yeah, cool.
Wow. Oh, that's so cool.
I almost wanted to like do some sort of scene where he like was to meet another moth that might have like some sort of like vision of his mother, but I think almost leaving it more vague like that is more interesting.
It always leaves the possibility for it to occur. We could always see a side scene of a moth wandering through the the valleys of the hills, I guess.
Like a moth with like a almost like a dandelion pattern, kind of like
yeah.
perching above, looking at the two of them as they watch this other moth fly towards the moon.
Yeah, I like that. And that's that scene.
Cool.
All right. Let's see. I have a few closing things, just like social media stuff and whatnot. And I'll let you give another shout out slash promo slash plug for all your stuff. But before that, is there anything else you wanna touch on in this journey or bring to mind?
No, I think this is probably where they split up. If she wants to continue down the other side of the mountain, I think he's probably going to go back the way they came. Mm-hmm. But he's thankful to have met somebody who understands him.
Yeah. And Mina is definitely going to take more care whenever she sees any moths.
Yeah.
In the future.
Especially very unique looking moths.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was wonderful. Thank you so much for joining me. Hopefully the listeners enjoyed as well. I have been Daisy, and this has been the Two's Company podcast. Social media stuff, if you want to follow the show, you can at Two's Company 1. That's the number 2, letter S, company, and then the number 1. If you want to follow me personally on Twitter, I have a personal account. I don't post much because Twitter, but that is at Days I May. That's DaysEyemay. And yeah, you know, you can do all those great things on your podcatcher of choice. Subscribe, rate, review, those good things. Devin, do you got anything you want to plug? I know you got a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, I'm Devin Decibel on Twitter. I have a band called The Y Axes, the letter Y A X E S. It's like, you know, bittersweet but hype pop rock. I also compose music for podcasts and such. So you can find that at devindecibel.bandcamp.com. I have a podcast called Never Die Alone that I am the GM and facilitator for. And I was also, I made a storytelling game podcast using the system Fall of Magic. And that's called Flight of Magic. That's on all podcatchers, as well as Never Die Alone, if that's out yet.
Hopefully. Definitely be sure to tune in to both of those.
Or just follow me on Twitter. I have a lot of projects, and I usually post about them there.
Yes, do all those things. All right. Well, thank you so much, listeners. And I will see you next time. Bye.